We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Clinics, or maybe our physician's assistant program has your interest. Get details by attending CBU's upcoming graduate information session. Register online at cbu.edu/graduate. That's cbu.edu/graduate.
I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. I am often asked, what is the value of my case? The answer, of course, depends on your injuries, liability, and the damages to you financially. And it also very much depends on the law firm you hire to represent you. Many times, firms are hired without much thought or research. All firms are not the same, not even close. I know of firms and lawyers who haven't tried a case in years, maybe never. The insurance company knows who they are, too. Some lawyers need the money more than you do. Go to ForTheThePeople.com and look at our verdicts in court. Here you will see injuries just like yours. You will see what the insurance company offered and, more importantly, what a jury decided. You will have an idea what your case may be worth in our hands. And just because you've already hired a lawyer doesn't mean you can't fire them before it's too late. Happens all the time. For over 30 years, Morgan & Morgan has been here at your time of need. There's only one Morgan & Morgan. On your cell, dial pound law. Pound law, that's all.
Affordable Blinds of Memphis. Hey, it's Steve Connolly. If you guys want to spruce up your home with new window treatments, man, call Chip Wiggins, affordableblindsofmemphis.com. I can tell you personally, he's the best in Memphis. Wood and faux wood shutters and blinds, cordless and motorized roller shades, energy efficient solar screens. His list of residential and commercial customers is a mile long. As a matter of fact, his shutters are on the set of Bluff City Law. For a free consultation, go to affordableblindsofmemphis.com.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
All right, I'm here. My name's Gary Parrish. Talking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles, no disruptions. And I hope you were around your computer, or perhaps just right here on 92.9 around 2 o'clock Central today, because that's when the NBA schedule release happened. It was broadcast on ESPN as part of The Jump with Rachel Nichols. I watched a lot of that. They didn't spend too much time on the Grizzlies schedule, but I got all the details for you. We'll jump into that momentarily. Plus, big, like, West Coast changes in terms of tip times that is clearly motivated by NBA television ratings going down last season. In other words, the season when LeBron James moved to the West Coast.
Yeah.
Trying to fix that if they can. Interesting stuff. We'll jump in a second. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. David Cobb covers the Grizzlies for the Commercial Appeal, so he's going to be here with me like 20 minutes. Talk schedule with him, but also Grizzlies in general. David Cobb going to be here 4:25. When I finish that, take a break, come back, do four notable stories, 4:44, at which point I'm going to discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, five-star freshman Precious Achiuwa is not with the Tigers on their trip to the Bahamas. It's a visa issue, according to university officials. Meantime, James Wiseman has a shoulder injury. He might not play. So this preseason trip just got way less interesting. We'll get into that around 4:44. Rest in peace to the so-called Rich Paul rule. NCAA publicly admitted a mistake today, amended the rule, so now you do not have to have a bachelor's degree to represent a player testing the waters of the NBA draft, provided you are certified by and in good standing with the NBPA. Good move by the NCAA. I'll tell you the next mistake the governing body needs to admit. We'll do that a little later on this hour. The Antonio Brown situation continues to evolve. Adam Schefter reporting that An arbitrator has ruled against Antonio Brown. In other words, he will not be allowed to wear his old helmet. So now it's up to him. You going to play in a new helmet or give up $30 million? I bet I know what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest upsets in modern Major League Baseball history happened yesterday. Interesting fact connected to the Orioles' win over the Astros.
Let's go.
Bennett, I'll tell you about that during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Cogg is just like always. Then I'm going to do dinner to go and get out of here. So that's the rundown. Got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with the NBA schedule release, which has become a big thing in NBA off seasons because, frankly, because ESPN like turns it into a big thing. But
yep.
Because the NBA is such a star-studded sport, you don't really look forward to, when the schedule comes out, games that might have playoff impact and that kind of stuff, as much as you look forward to, you know, when are the stars going to be here? When are the best teams, the very best, and my favorite players or my kids' favorite players or just the league superstars are going to be here? And so if you're a Grizzlies fan, particularly a season ticket holder, what happened this afternoon is pretty significant because it allows you to start planning your basketball season. And if you are somebody who shares season tickets with a group, and a lot of people do this. I have friends who do this. They might have four season tickets spread between three families, right?
Yeah.
And they'll just draft the games. And so you, when this schedule comes out, you start ranking the games in whatever order you might want to be or in whatever order you might want to attend them. And also, like, what fits perfectly or better than not with your schedule. Like, hey, well, that's a week we're going to be out of town. So, oh, no, that's the week Zion's going to be here. That's not fun. So there's a whole lot of stuff to look at. And Rob Fisher always does a terrific job of, like, you know, going through it very quickly and then tweeting out some highlights. So we'll just run through that real quick. The opener, season opener, it's October 23rd. It's going to be the Memphis Grizzlies down in Miami against the Miami Heat. So that's tough. You got to play your first game of the season after a night in Miami? Woo boy. That's a tough one. There's a few cities in the NBA that have a real home court advantage because of the nightlife provided by that city. L.A. is one of them. Miami is another. I've told this story before. Kelly and I were down in Miami a few years ago for like a little weekend getaway, and we were staying at a nice hotel. I'm not here to name drop, but it was a nice hotel.
Okay.
It was this type of hotel that was nice enough where an NBA team playing the Miami Heat might also be in that hotel.
All right.
And so the Atlanta Hawks were playing the Miami Heat on a Sunday afternoon, which is like the worst because that comes after a Saturday night.
Yep.
And so Kelly and I got up whatever time we got up. You know, we were kidless, so like maybe stayed up a little later than we otherwise would have and got up a little later than we otherwise would have. But we went down stairs to the lobby at a hotel to get a cup of coffee, I don't know, 10 o'clock, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, I don't want to name the names because I don't know who's married and who isn't.
Okay.
But I saw at least half of the Atlanta Hawks roster walk out of that elevator with the baddest B you've ever seen in your life. It was every time that elevator opened, it was a very tall basketball player, a very tall person, and the baddest girl from the club you've ever seen in your life. Mm-hmm. Just one after another. So then they got to go play a basketball game after that. You know you've been up all night anyway. So I'm not saying the Grizzlies would break some internal curfew or stay out later than they should. But having to open down in Miami, woo boy, that could be problematic. 2 days later, the home opener. That's going to be October 25th. Chicago Bulls inside FedEx Forum. Mike Conley's first game back in FedEx Forum as a member of the Utah Jazz. That's going to be on November 15th. That's an ESPN game. And I saw this earlier when the Jump was televising this television show from Disney World. Mike was actually there and on set with Rachel Nichols, and she pointed out to him that with the Utah Jazz, he's got 10 games this year on ESPN. Like, he's never had that before in his life.
That?
Playing for a small market franchise that does not have a star. You know, the Grizzlies are not on ESPN that often. Mike's going to get to play 10 games on ESPN in the regular season. That's a byproduct of playing with Donovan Mitchell and playing for a Utah team that, you know, is going to be a real contender.
Right.
in the West. So he and the Jazz will be here for the first time on November 15th, and then they'll be back here just a couple weeks later on November 29th. The MLK Day game is going to be January 20th, and Zion Williamson and the New Orleans Pelicans will be the opponent. Now, this is good and bad, I think. The good is obvious. It's a big stage for the Grizzlies. It's on national television, TNT, and Zion Williamson, who is, we'll see what kind of rookie year he has, but he enters the NBA more famous than any player since LeBron James. Mm-hmm. He is a one-name superstar, very famous basketball player already, partly because of YouTube, partly because of Instagram, partly because what he was able to do at Duke, playing for the biggest brand in the sport of college basketball on the biggest stage that it provides and becoming not only a great prospect but a great player. He was the consensus National Player of the Year. So having all that here on that Monday in January, terrific. The problem, of course, is that if I were running the Grizzlies, I wouldn't want this, and the reason is because the Zion games are going to be ticket sellers no matter what. Like the MLK.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
The MLK Day game is going to be a ticket seller no matter what.
No matter who you play.
And
yep.
The Zion game is games are going to be ticket sellers no matter what. And so when you double up on them, it's a little bit like if you had the Lakers on opening night. You don't want that. Like the Bulls on opening night in FedEx Forum, that's perfect because it's going to be a ticket seller against a team that otherwise would not be a ticket seller.
Right.
Like if you play in the Bulls on a Wednesday night in February, nobody cares. But opening night's opening night. Like, that's going to be a ticket seller. So the Bulls for opening night is perfect because you're getting a bad opponent into the arena for a game that's going to sell even though it's a bad opponent. The MLK Day game sort of cuts the other way because that game would sell even if it were the Bulls there. It wouldn't matter. Like, people go to that because it's a brilliantly produced sporting event that is done perfectly by the Grizzlies every single year. You're going to have FedEx Forum filled up for that one no matter what. You would have FedEx Forum close to filled up, if not filled up, for Zion any day of the week, any month of the season. So to double up on that, less than ideal, but whatever. I would imagine that if you're just sort of connecting dots here, the NBA understands, even if they haven't always, understands how important it is to have a game in Memphis on MLK Day, but they also understand for television purposes, you cannot put the Grizzlies out there just by themselves. People aren't going to just watch the Grizzlies because it's on. Mm-hmm. You've got to put them with something people will watch. And honestly, what is the one thing people are going to want to watch more than anything else this season? Maybe LeBron, maybe Steph, like I gotcha, but Zion is the deal. Like, that's why his summer league games, that one, they would have all sold out, but the one sold out, and it was super hyped in advance of him playing against R.J. Barrett out in Las Vegas. So if you're the NBA, this is clearly done intentionally. We need to have the Grizzlies on TNT on MLK Day, but we can't. We gotta put a draw with them because they ain't drawing anybody on their own. They're a small market team that's not going to be good without a star. What can we do to make it where people will watch that? We could put Zion against anybody, and people will watch that. So MLK Day, you get Zion Williamson in FedEx Forum. You had the first two picks of the 2019 NBA Draft inside FedEx Forum. That makes for good television. So that seems like, I don't want to say it's a compromise, but we are committed to having Memphis on MLK Day. How do we make it watchable? Zion is the answer. Then Zion's back again March 21st, by the way. He'll be inside FedEx Forum two times in the regular season, first on MLK Day, January 20th, then on March 21st. Marc Gasol, obviously, plays for an Eastern Conference team, Toronto Raptors, so he only comes back to Memphis once this season. That'll be March 28th, so that'll be deep into the season. Home finale is going to be the Sixers on April 13th. Season finale at the Rockets against James Harden and Russell Westbrook on April 15th. If you're curious about what I think are three of the biggest draws, if not the three biggest draws outside of Zion, Golden State with Steph Curry is here on November 19th and January 12th. The Lakers with our king and savior LeBron James and Anthony Davis going to be here on November 23rd and February 29th, which means we are in a leap year next year. Did you realize that?
No.
We will have a 29-day month of February next year.
Okay.
And our king and savior, LeBron James, will be here on the 29th of February. So what this also means is that you get Golden State and the Lakers here within a five-day period of each other, November 19th and November 23rd, the 19th Golden State, 23rd Lakers. And then the Clippers will be here, I believe, just one time. That's going to be on November 27th. That's Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and the favorite to win the 2020 NBA title. So those are the big highlights from the Grizzlies' schedule. To me, the most interesting thing, because everybody's got a schedule, right? Everybody's going to play 82, 41 on the road, 41 at home. You really, like, a team's individual schedule is only interesting from a fan perspective. I can't wait to go to that game. This is the game I need to make sure I'm in town for. This is the game I got to absolutely get tickets for. In a broader sense, what made today's announcement more interesting is a tweet from my friend Adrian Wojnarowski. He tweeted this about 10 minutes before the schedule released television show started on ESPN. He said, earlier times for national TV doubleheaders this season, 22 of ESPN's 36 doubleheaders and 12 of TNT's 31 doubleheaders will start, for our purposes, at 6:30 Central and 9 o'clock Central, or as early as 6 Central and 8:30 Central, as opposed to what we used to get, which is 7 Central and 9:30 Central. In other words, some of these doubleheaders that ESPN and TNT put on, that always feature West Coast teams and the nightcap.
Yep.
They're going to start, in some cases, an hour earlier, and in other cases, at least 30 minutes earlier. And this is clearly a reaction to NBA ratings going down last season across the board. Because the reason they went down last season, I think most people will tell you, it's not because players were speaking out on social issues or bashing President Trump. It's because the biggest draw in the sport, LeBron James, the most famous player in the world, and at the time, the guy widely considered to be the best player in the world and one of the, if not the best players of all time, he was playing basketball games on television when much of the country was asleep. It's a real problem because now look at it. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Steph Curry, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. I think you can reasonably say those are five of the best 10 players in the world.
Yep.
LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Steph Curry, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. Reasonably say five of the best 10 players in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They play in California now. Half of the top 10 best players in the world play more than half their games in a season in the state of California. Mm-hmm. Because if you're Golden State, you still got Clippers games, Kings games, and Lakers games. If you're Lakers, you still got Clippers games, King games, Warriors games. So more than half of their games are going to be played in the state of California. And you've got to, if you're trying to draw an East Coast audience, you got to get them on earlier. Because I deal with this sometimes as somebody who writes about things on a national level, expresses opinions on a national level. You'll constantly get from folks, if you are underrating, say, Oregon, or you're not paying enough attention to UCLA, they'll hit you with this East Coast bias thing. Even though I live in the Central Time Zone, it's still like East Coast bias.
Right, right.
And what I've tried to explain to people for years now is that there is no East Coast bias. Nobody who lives in the Eastern Time Zone, like, decides based on where they live. I'm not going to pay attention to what happens on the West Coast, or I'm not going to respect West Coast sports, or I'm not going to whatever. It doesn't work like that. It's actually much simpler. People just go to sleep.
You got to sleep.
You just have to sleep.
Right.
I mean, like, people go to sleep. And when you are tipping off games at 10:30 Eastern, bitch, and by the way, those games are almost always excuse the expression, but it is a television expression. I don't know why we haven't found a better way to phrase this yet, but they call it sliding the tip. The tip is always slid for television purposes because the last thing they want to do is start a game before another game has ended, if possible. So we'll be sitting in studio, for instance, on a college basketball doubleheader or tripleheader, and sometimes even before the game the first game starts, they'll, quote, slide the tip. Somebody makes this decision in New York. It's one of my bosses. And what that means is a West Coast game that was scheduled to start at 9:36 is now actually going to start at 9:46. Mm-hmm. So when these games are scheduled to start, you know, at 10:35 Eastern, they're often not going to start till 10:45 Eastern. And now they're not going to be over till nearly 1 a.m. Now, if you are young, if you want, I guess you can stay up till 1 a.m. But just trust me when I tell you, there aren't many people in New York City or anywhere on the East Coast who have children who have to be at school the next morning or who have jobs right. that require them to get up early the next morning. There aren't many of those people who are willing to stay up till 1 a.m. to watch a basketball game, even if it is LeBron James against Steph Curry. And that became a real problem when LeBron went west. And now it's even more of a problem that Anthony Davis is west, Kawhi Leonard is west, Paul George is west, Steph Curry's still west. So I think this is, I don't want to say brilliant, because it's obvious to me. They needed to do something. And so what we will find in this upcoming NBA season is that for our purposes, we're going to have some of these doubleheaders, and they are usually the more high-profile games, like, you know, big brand on big brand, good team against good team. Some of these games are going to start as early as 6 o'clock Central. So you'll just have to finish listening to the Gary Parrish Show and then flip right on over to ESPN and TNT. They are moving games to start at least 30 minutes, and in some cases an hour earlier than otherwise, than they otherwise would, than they previously have. And it is strictly because ratings dropped when LeBron James moved to the West Coast. Now 5 of the top 10 players in the world play in the state of California. If you want to draw big numbers, and obviously they do, it means you've got to have the Eastern time zone and the Central time zone. Well, people aren't going to just stay up later because a basketball game's on. They might in some rare cases, but largely, even if they wanted to, they will just fall asleep on the couch, in the bed, even if they were determined to stay up and watch the game. So how do you resolve the issue? If you can't get people to stay up later, you got to start your games earlier. And so the NBA is making that move and seems pretty smart to me. I'll talk to David Cobb about it next.
This is Andy Wise. For 20 years, I was Memphis TV's chief consumer investigator. I'm out of TV news now, but I'm still your consumer investigator. I've launched my own consumer advocacy venture called Wise Choices at andywisechoices.com, where I still work for your protection and where I endorse local companies with your best interest. And one of those companies is Cooper Systems. I came to know Cooper Systems when I partnered with Lee and Lauren Cooper and their staff on an undercover investigation of computer repair businesses. Lee and his crack technicians helped me uncover some pretty bad deals. They helped me hold lesser computer repair shops accountable. For over 26 years, Cooper Systems has been solving computer problems honestly and at a fair price. You want reputation? You want locally owned? You want an impeccable record? You want Cooper Systems. For the best in computer repair, virus removal, data recovery, cracked screens, for active customers, they'll even come to your house to repair your computer. Cooper Systems also has great deals on new and refurbished PCs and Apple Macs, desktops, laptops, and printers and monitors, too. For all of your computer needs, trust Cooper Systems to be your wise choice.
When the sand gets hot, you gotta move fast, like a dog chasing a frisbee. Move just as fast to the Ford Hurry Up and Save sales event. Because for the first time ever, you can get 20% estimated savings on select Ford vehicles, plus earn complimentary maintenance through Ford Pass Rewards. Don't let this hot deal on America's best-selling brand pass you by. Get into the Ford Hurry Up and Save sales event. Based on 2010 through 2018 calendar year sales, Moda must be activated within 60 days of purchase through the Ford Pass app on a smartphone and remain active for at least 6 months after activation. Eligible on select 2019 model year vehicles. Vehicle must have arrived at dealer at least 61 days prior to the sale date. Estimated savings include an average dealer discount based on a sales survey of average discounts offered by Ford dealers nationally. Discount may vary. Dealer determines price. For all offers, take new retail delivery from an authorized Ford dealer stock by 9/3/19. See participating dealer for complete details.
Ask Alexa or Google to play 92.9 ESPN.
This is Gary Parrish. As you probably know, my wife and I had our youngest son at Regional One Health. I can't recommend him enough, but as I said before, you don't have to experience an emergency to get great care from Regional One Health. I'm here with Dr. Jesus Martinez, a neurologist in the multi-specialty care clinic at the East Campus. Dr. Martinez, let me ask, how do you help patients who suffer with headaches?
We take a patient-centered approach to care at Regional One Health. I guide patients suffering with headaches and enable them to get control of their condition.
So we all get headaches from time to time, but does that mean we actually need to seek medical treatment?
If a person has two or more headaches per week, they need preventive medication. We want to figure out the cause of the headaches to prevent them from occurring again. We can help you so you don't have to take so many pain meds.
So if you want to make an appointment at the East Campus, which is conveniently located at 6555 Quince Road, it's just off 385, you can do so online at regionalonehealth.org or by phone at 901-515-3150. That's 901-515-3150 or the website regionalonehealth.org.
Around here, everyone knows you need the right tool for the job. It's the difference between orders filled and orders missed, between return customers and product returns. That's why I order from Grainger. With over 250 local branches, will call product pickup, and a time-saving mobile app, it's easy to get it right. When it comes to getting what you need, when you need it, Grainger's got your back. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's nothing like meeting face-to-face, and there's nothing like Zoom to make that happen. Zoom lets you connect and do business across town or around the world. Zoom ties together all of your communication needs into one easy platform for video conferencing, phone calls, group chat, webinars, and your conference rooms. Connect easily from anywhere, your mobile phone, your laptop, or conference room. Zoom is how business gets done. Get your free account at Zoom.com today. Meet happy with Zoom.
It's home buying season, and Orion has the home mortgage you're looking for. Visit OrionFCU.com and start your home buying process today. Orion is an equal housing lender.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This ain't a wave or a phase, cause all that fades. This lifestyle's forever when you made. They tweet about the length I made them wait. What the f*** you expect when it got a cape in his
grave? Precious Achiuwa is not with the Tigers, at least at this moment, in the Bahamas for their preseason trip of exhibition games. According to the University of Memphis, he has a visa issue they are still trying to resolve. James Wiseman's got a shoulder injury, reportedly. We'll get into all of that in the next segment. Plus, rest in peace to the so-called Rich Paul Rule. Jeff Calkins will join me a little after 5 o'clock. He'll be in the Bahamas, so we'll get the latest from him. But right now, he covers the Grizzlies for the Commercial Appeal. It's David Cobb making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Memphis. Now on 92.9 FM ESPN.
David Cobb, it's Gary Parrish. How you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing well. And congrats. I feel like you beating the drum on the Rich Paul rule actually, you know, had some impact. And I know the big-time NBA guys obviously gave that some voice, but you did too. So kudos.
Oh, that's really nice. I mean, if I were actually trying to assign credit, I'd probably start with LeBron James of shining, you know, shining such a big light on it and turning it into a trending topic on Twitter. But you know, I did what I usually do, and this time, even more quickly than I anticipated, they acknowledged a mistake, the NCAA. They don't always do that, but I do sincerely tip my hat to them here. They still got other mistakes they need to admit to, but at least they admitted to one here and fixed it as quickly as possible. And I appreciate you saying what you said.
Yeah, and you got the Woj retweet too.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. Like, I started seeing my mentions, like, go bananas, and I thought, I was like, ooh, because I tweeted what I tweeted, and then, like, I went and made a cup of coffee. I wanted a cup of coffee, and then I was going to get to writing a column. And when I came back to my computer, like, 3 minutes later, my mentions were going bananas, and I was like, did LeBron just retweet this? And it wasn't LeBron, but it was the closest thing we have to LeBron, which is Woj. And so, yeah, I've learned in the past, a Woj retweet will change your mentions very, very quickly. It got it going nonstop. So thank you again for saying what you said.
Hey, can I ask you one thing real quick?
Of course you can.
Okay. Did you know that Woj applied for a job at the Commercial Appeal back in the day?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I came here and met with John Stamm, who I believe was the sports editor at the time, and just I can't remember if he didn't get the offer or got a better offer, but I do know he has been in that building at 495 Union Avenue speaking with the editors there.
Yeah, and he told me that story when I met him at the Staples Center last season, and it kind of like blew my mind. And I think he told me that he didn't get it, which is just even more mind blowing.
I know, right?
But look at him now.
Yeah, right.
Look at you now.
And look at everybody now. Now, Woj just turned in over the years. Our initial connection was that I was covering John Calipari at Memphis after he had covered John Calipari for the Bergen Record when John was the coach of the New Jersey Nets. So we would just get together and tell Cal stories, and then we became actually close, and now our wives are friends, and we've gone up to New Jersey and visited with them, and he's turned into one of Aiden and Ollie's best customers because he's constantly buying baby presents for NBA, for people all throughout the NBA world. So he's become one of my really good friends, and it's awesome to see his success because he has he's turned into an absolute monster. Who is compensated like an absolute monster. I'm talking to David Cobb here from the Commercial Appeal. Let's talk about the Grizzlies' schedule. It was released this afternoon. Just in general, your thoughts. I know it's 82 games, 41 on the road, 41 at home, but Zion is a part of the MLK Day game. Let me start there for a second because nobody's told me this. I'm just sort of connecting dots. It seems like the NBA is committed to having Memphis on MLK Day. They know it's important to have a game in FedEx Forum, but they also know people aren't going to watch the Grizzlies on a national level. They had to put something with the Grizzlies to make that game watchable, and Zion is the most watchable thing in the NBA, perhaps. It seems like that all is intentionally done.
Yeah, well, you know, it was the Pelicans last year, too, and that game had very little appeal nationally because it was in the midst of the Anthony Davis saga. Neither team was good. But this year it takes on a whole different meaning because you got the number one overall pick against the number two overall pick. And it's not to mention it's the first time that they're playing. So they'll play three more times after that game, but that MLK Day celebration game is the first time that Zion and Ja will play against each other. And neither team will probably be that great, although I think the Pelicans are going to try. But just for that reason alone of the number one pick versus the number two pick playing for the first time, I think there will be a lot of eyeball on it.
You and I know we probably both have friends who share season tickets with other families or just friends in general, and they have a season ticket draft where they say, okay, there's four of us. It'll work just like a fantasy football draft. You pick this game, you get the four tickets. Then I'll pick the next game, I get those four tickets. Then so-and-so picks the next game, she gets those four tickets, and so on and so forth. If you were in such a system, what game would you pick? What's the most attractive game on the Grizzlies' home schedule?
Oh, I think it's November 15th, Mike Conley's return to Memphis with the Jazz. It's got to be unless you're one of these people who's a transplant who isn't really loyal to the Grizzlies and you're just picking based off of which superstar you want to see first. I think if you have any connection to the franchise, that one's got to be at the top of your list. And you miss him that first time. He's coming back exactly 2 weeks later on the 29th. So two chances to see Mike Conley early in the season, and I would take advantage of either one of those if I were drafting.
I think that's right. And so I'm curious, why do you think, because I don't even know why I think, I could come up with a reason, I guess. Why do we think Mike's return is more significant than Mark's return?
Because Mark's return might not happen. I mean, he's not playing here until March the 28th, and he's on an expiring contract. So I think there's a little bit of trepidation about, you know, trumpeting the Mark Gasol return when we know full well that he could be used as a trade piece at the deadline, and maybe he doesn't even get to make a Memphis reunion this season.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair – I think that there's some truth to that. Also, like, for whatever reason, it feels like even though Mark went to high school here and spent literally more than half his life here, that in terms of beloved Grizzlies, people liked Mike more than they liked Mark. I don't mean to pit them against each other. I think they were both fan favorites, but it seems like Mike's the more popular player. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's accurate, yeah.
Why do you think that is?
It's hard to say for sure, but I think that Mark, as recently as like December, he was being talked about in Memphis as being somewhat of a diva sometimes, you know, and all these things. In the larger context of everyone loving and appreciating what he's done for the franchise and all the contributions, you know, on and off the court, of course, you know, all those things are sort of foregone conclusions when you're having this discussion, but there was always this sort of side narrative with Mark about, you know, being a little bit of a diva, being a little bit difficult when he was sometimes playing through injuries when he shouldn't have been, which was you know, the case as recently as this past season. And so, I don't know, I feel like with Mark, it's a little bit of that, those sort of side narratives sort of detracting a little bit from the luster, but I don't think he's far behind Mike. I think that people love Mark and appreciate his idiosyncrasies in some fashion. And to maybe a certain segment of the fan base, that actually makes him more beloved. The fact that we saw him get agitated more, the fact that, you know, sometimes he wore his emotions on his sleeve a little bit more. But on the whole, I think that Mike probably edges him, you know, if we're going to rank the core four, which is a perilously difficult exercise, but that's kind of the way that it feels right now.
Talking to David Cobb from the Commercial Appeal. He covers the Grizzlies for the CA. He is on Twitter at David W. Cobb. That's at David W. Cobb. Let's talk about the Grizzlies in general. Do you have a sense yet for how they expect to handle the Josh Jackson situation?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't rule out them packaging him in a trade. I think there's a good chance that he ends up being on the roster. I think he is more likely to be on the roster than Andre Iguodala, and certainly more likely to be on the roster than Dwight Howard. But I do think that if a team wants to make a trade that involves Andre Iguodala and they request Josh Jackson as part of that, that he could be involved in that. So I've kind of talked with some people who are close to that situation, and it's kind of just a holding pattern, a wait and see, if you will, right now. And so I think one good sign for Jackson and his future in the league is that he keeps kind of getting diversion for all this sort of off-the-court stuff. Now, he's not completely out of the water on everything yet, but he hasn't been slapped with any sort of, you know, hard sentence or anything on anything that's going on. It's all pretty minor stuff to begin with. And nothing that's gone on in the legal process to this point appears to have, you know, really put him in any hot water beyond just kind of the reputation that he's built for himself. So I think there's at least a chance that he could be moved, but right now it's sort of a holding pattern and a wait and see, if you will.
It's interesting because this is a topic on which I can talk myself into either direction. On one hand, I would go, listen, he's clearly a knucklehead. He has been since, you know, he was kicking cars in at Kansas. He clearly hasn't, or at least on a surface level, it doesn't appear he's matured too much in recent years. I don't want him around Ja Morant. I don't want him around Jaren Jackson. Let him go. On the other hand, he is a 6'8 athlete who is just 22 years old and was drafted in the top five 2 years ago. And this is the place where Zach Randolph turned his career and on some level reputation around. Maybe it can serve as the same type of opportunity for Josh Jackson. Do you know which camp you fall in yet?
Yeah, I mean, I would fall in the take a chance on him camp. And yeah, I'm not a columnist, and I haven't had the liberty to necessarily write this. But, I mean, in my opinion, you don't have to make a long-term commitment to the guy to give him a shot. For one thing, he's got an option for the 2020-21 season that you have to exercise, I think it's October 31st. So you bring him into training camp, let him play a few games. And if it's pretty clear that this isn't somebody who you want to invest in long term, you don't have to. And then you can trade him at the deadline or do whatever you want with him. Or, you know, you can make a little bit of an investment in him. So, I mean, just by not trading Josh Jackson, we're not making a huge investment in Josh Jackson. You're just going to give him a little bit of a shot. And if he turns out to be a locker room poison or something of that nature, then you know, cut your losses and move on, and you really haven't sunk that much into him. But on the other hand, you know, he could end up being a guy who really could compete for a serious role with this team, who could, you know, kind of hit that next level of potential that he struggled to get in a chaotic environment in Phoenix. So I'm of the opinion that they should give him a shot. I don't think they've got much to lose by doing that, but if he's requested as part of a trade package and the return that they could get is a first-round pick or something, they might feel like that's more important than trying to work on somebody who I think most people deem as a project.
I'm wrapping up here with David Cobb from the Commercial Appeal. Last thing before I let you go, you mentioned Andre Iguodala. Still no movement on that situation. How do you ultimately think that gets resolved?
Yeah, I mean, I just ordered his book off of Amazon and read the whole thing in 3 days to look for insights on what he wants to do with his future. For now, it sounds like he's looking forward to riding his mountain bike with his son in California. So I don't know if he'll be able to mountain bike if he stays in Memphis. So I'm not sure how that's going to impact his decision. But I don't know. I would be surprised if he's on the roster, but I wouldn't rule it out. And I do question what level of motivation he'll have to participate in games for the Grizzlies if he does end up being a part of the roster. Everybody knows he's a pro's pro, but this is a guy who is very well respected around the league, who has numerous times throughout his career kind of made the decision that was in his best interest, and it's oftentimes paid off for him. And so I don't know what his motivation will be to really invest in this Grizzlies team. And that's kind of my biggest question around Andre right now. And that's kind of the same thing as Josh Jackson, a little bit of a holding pattern.
That is David Cobb from the Commercial Appeal. You can read him, commercialappeal.com. Make sure you find him on Twitter, at David W. Cobb. Thanks for being here, buddy. I really appreciate it. I know it's been a busy day with the schedule release, so I appreciate you carving out a few minutes for me.
Not a problem. Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, brother. That's David Cobb from the Commercial Appeal. On the Josh Jackson thing, I think I agree with David. I would... You know, there's a reason he was drafted in the top five like 2 years ago. He is talented. And he's still only 22 years old. And I am fundamentally of the belief that you are who you are. Like, I wrote a column a long time ago about DeMarcus Cousins when he was coming out of Kentucky. And it picked up some traction on Twitter, you know, hashtag knucklehead rule. I guess the basic premise of the column was that people usually are who they are. You know, like, everybody says they're going to change or want to change, and then they usually just kind of are who they are. Now, I don't mean that you can't change, like, you know, from 30 to 40, but somebody doesn't really change that often from 19 to 22 or 22 to 26. That's not really when folks do their growing up. I don't think I settled into, like, who I fundamentally am, like, at this moment in my life until my 30s at least. And I would say mid-30s as opposed to early 30s. Like, at 22, I was still doing a lot of the same stuff. I was doing dumb stuff at 19, and at 26, some of the dumb stuff I was doing at 24. So I'm fundamentally of the belief that if a guy has shown a willingness to just make one bad decision after another, he ain't going to be much different at 24 than he was at 22, mm-hmm. than he was at 19. He might be different at 44. I bet you if you talk to Zach Randolph at this moment, he would tell you he's much different than he was when he's 20 years old. But 20-year-old Zach wasn't much different than 23-year-old Zach, wasn't much different than 26-year-old Zach. And I'm still not pretending he's an angel. I'm just saying he clearly evolved over time, but that came much later in his life than whatever number of years you're going to have Josh Jackson under contract for right now. So I'm fundamentally of that belief. Like, he is what he is at this point. There's a reason Phoenix just gave up on him already. But he also is, you know, if it's only a 20% chance, let's just say for the sake of conversation, that he works out, is it worth a roll of the dice considering you got him for basically nothing? I think fundamentally it comes down to, do you believe there is a chance he could work out? And if you do, do you also believe there's no chance, if he doesn't, it would have a negative impact on John Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr.? In other words, if you could sit down with Jaren, and you truly believe these young people will not be influenced by a bad person, if he is in fact a bad person. Like, they will not start running with him. He'll either start running with them or he won't matter. If you believe that they won't be negatively impacted if Josh Jackson is a negative presence, then I think it's probably worth the shot. And that ultimately comes down to, do you believe in John Morant at his core? And do you believe in Jaren Jackson at his core? And I think the organization, I think they do. Like, I think they don't only believe they drafted back-to-back years to uniquely gifted basketball players. I think they think they drafted rock-solid humans. Mm-hmm. You know, people with strong, really strong family structure. You know, people who came from a really good place and still have those really good people around them. I think that's what makes them partly attractive as they were. And so if you believe that that's, you know, John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. are just, they're good people at their core who will not be influenced by somebody who might not be as good, then the risk of at least seeing what you got is much lower than it otherwise would be. Rest in peace to the Rich Paul rule. Less than a week after LeBron James interrupted Taco Tuesday to bring attention to this. The NCAA admitted a mistake and amended the rule. We'll get into that next. Plus, Precious Achiuwa is not with the Tigers in the Bahamas. That takes a little bit of the intrigue away from Memphis's preseason trip. Talk about that as well.
It's the 2019 92.9 FM ESPN Madden Tournament, hosted by 92.9's Jason and John. Friday, August 23rd, starting at 6:30 p.m. at the Rec Room. Want in? Sign up and see if we draw your name at 92.9ESPN.com. That's 92.9ESPN.com. Bracket play, prizes, Rec Room beer specials, and more. The 2019 92.9 Madden Tournament from Memphis's Madden Station. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hi, this is Troy Fiveash, owner of Fiveash Roofing. As most of you know, I don't have a history of bragging or boasting that Fiveash Roofing is the best roofer in the Memphis area. But did you know we are the only diamond-level roofing professional in the area? We are one of very few local roofing companies that have been in business for 20 years. We've never had a justified claim against us. We are locally owned and family-operated. Our labor warranties are for the life of the shingles. We're experts in insurance claim. We do residential and commercial work. We are the official roofer of the University of Memphis Athletic Department and a proud member of the Tigers home team. We support local youth sports and St. Jude's. We have worked with churches and veteran services to help those in need by providing services at a deep discount or even for free. We are currently working with Young Life to give them a free roof on the historic log cabin in Germantown. Fiveash Roofing. Fair, honest, and ethical. 367-0050 or memphisroofer.com.
Fiveash Roofing is what we do. We're here for you.
As a small business owner, when was the last time you considered switching internet providers?
I don't even remember. Running a business keeps me pretty busy.
Let's compare your current provider to Comcast Business. Are you getting fast, reliable internet?
Sometimes.
How about a full suite of innovative services like separate Wi-Fi networks, 4G wireless backup, and advanced voice solutions?
I highly doubt it.
Sounds like Comcast Business could give you more. Make the switch to the nation's largest gig speed network now and get an amazing deal. Right now, get fast 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and auto pay. Offer ends 8/21/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to up to 8 hours.
Buckle up, taste buds. You're about to take an adventure of South of Beale, Memphis's most innovative and trendiest establishment. Check out the new summer menu or nosh on your favorites like General Tso's cauliflower or the duck patty melt. South of Beale has craft cocktails made from the coolest bartenders in the Mid-South, featuring draft brews from local and regional breweries only. Bring your friends, bring your family, bring your taste buds to South of Beale, celebrating 10 years in the South Main Art District. Get started at southofbeale.com.
Escaping somewhere this summer? Whether you're hitting the beach, taking the family camping, or lounging by the pool, take your favorite news, sports, music, and podcasts with you. How? Just download the free radio.com app and start listening now. Download it today on your phone or connected device, or listen on your smart speaker. Wherever summer carries you, you can listen live, anytime, anywhere.
The Chevy Open House event is here, and it's time to discover Chevy vehicles your way. Browse the showroom, honk the horn, lift the hood, kick the tires, feel the power, see the deals. With vehicles like the all-new 2019 Silverado, Equinox, and the Malibu, it's no wonder people are switching to Chevy. Join us at the Chevy Open House event on August 22nd and open the door to a new Chevy. Right now, qualified buyers get the all-new 2019 Chevy Silverado Crew Cab LT with 0% APR for 60 months when you finance with GM Financial, plus $1,000 down payment assistance. Or get a total of $8,760 total value offer. Must finance with GM Financial. Some customers may not qualify. Monthly payment is $1,667 for every $1,000 you finance. Example down payment, 4%. Not available with lease and some other offers. Based on $52,175 MSRP. Total value offer includes 3010 price reduction below MSRP, $4,750 total cash allowance, and $1,000 option package discount. Not available with special financing, lease, and some other offers. Take new retail delivery by 9/3/2019. See participating dealer for details. Visit Chuck Hutton Chevrolet, your Mid-South Chevy. Chevy dealer.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.125%. APR, 4.22%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. 8.88% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Workplace injury? Dial pound 529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It feels so good, it should cost. Brought an alligator, I ain't talking Lacoste. Made me say, like a mix of Master P and Rick Ross.
Jeff Calkins is your award-winning columnist daily in Memphis and host of the Jeff Calkins Show. He's in the Bahamas with the University of Memphis men's basketball team. That's Penny's Tigers. Precious Achiuwa is not with the team. I'm going to talk to Calkins about that and everything else going on the island. But first, I've got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Rest in peace to the so-called Rich Paul rule. It has been amended. The NCAA acknowledged earlier today they admitted a public mistake and said that no longer will you be required, if you're an agent, to have a bachelor's degree to represent players through the pre-draft process if they are, quote, testing the waters of the NBA draft. That's the rule they put into place last week. A week later, it is overturned by they're the ones that did it, and it came just 6 hours after Rich Paul published an op-ed in The Athletic. For people who didn't follow this story too closely, last Monday, the NCAA sent an email to agents who represent basketball players, and it said that this is the new certification process you'll have to go through if you want to represent players who are testing the waters for the NBA draft. And some of it was basic stuff, but within the process, one of the stipulations was you have to have a bachelor's degree. And so LeBron James very quickly hashtagged this the Rich Paul rule, because Rich Paul, his agent, also the agent of Anthony Davis, of John Wall, one of the most powerful agents, if not the most powerful agent in the NBA, he does not have a bachelor's degree. He is super powerful, super successful, super sharp, does not have a bachelor's degree. So in theory, this new rule would prevent, let's just call him, the most powerful agent in the NBA from representing players who are testing the waters for the NBA draft. In other words, the NCAA had put in a rule that would prevent a man who routinely negotiates $190 million contracts for future Hall of Famers, would prevent him from representing a sophomore in college who may or may not enter the draft. It's ridiculous, obviously. Now, from a practical sense, it was never going to impact Rich Paul at all, and here's why. Rich Paul doesn't represent testing the waters guys. Rich Paul represents Darius Garland and you know, potential lottery picks. Like, anybody Rich Paul's going to even take a second to deal with is going to be somebody who's 100% in the draft and probably going to be drafted in the top 20. So as Rich Paul wrote in The Athletic this morning, this was going to have no impact on me or my agency. But it was going to have an impact on people like him, because what critics of the rule pointed out very quickly, myself included, is that the bachelor's degree thing is crazy in the sense that that shouldn't be a stipulation, because does having a bachelor's degree make you any more credible in this very specific profession or more trustworthy than not? If you go back, look back and look at the college coaches who got arrested in the FBI scandal that all of this is a reaction to, every one of them are men with bachelor's degrees. It didn't prevent them from taking bribes to send players in bad directions to work with bad people, sketchy people. Those were all people with bachelor's degrees. And, like, if you look at, and I won't get specific, but all of the corruption in our government, it is all committed by people with bachelor's degrees. So, like, a bachelor's degree doesn't really do anything on the subject of, no. Can you trust this person? And yet that was the implication by the NCAA. Beyond that, a lot of people, I think, accurately pointed out that the rule had racial overtones. Well, the way the NCAA phrased it was, we just want our players to be dealing with college graduates because it reflects the interest we have in higher education. The way it was interpreted was, you don't want young black dudes. You don't want young hustlers getting involved with players trying to become the next Rich Paul. And so that's the point Rich Paul made. Like, it's not going to impact me, but it will impact people like me. It would have impacted me once upon a time. And that seems to be putting up a fence in a place that is unfair. And it doesn't actually, this fence, fix any of the problems you say you're trying to fix. And so I will give, and I wrote a column for CBS Sports, giving the NCAA an immense amount of credit for admitting a mistake and fixing it. Because that's hard for that organization to do. It's hard for people in general to do. Humans have an incredibly difficult time, for the most part, of acknowledging a mistake and then trying to fix it. Instead, we're conditioned to dig in and just fight, fight, fight. But here's the opportunity for the NCAA to say, hey, we went too far. Hey, we're listening to the constructive criticism, and we're going to fix this effective immediately. And so good on them. They don't do it often. They did it here. They deserve credit. But the point of my column is that now let's see if they can fix another mistake. Because the root of this mistake was the same root of so many mistakes they've made in the past couple of years, which that by their own admission, in their own statement, they took a recommendation from the Commission on College Basketball. This is the committee that was formed in response to the FBI investigation to, quote, clean up college basketball. So they put former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, they made her the face of it, and they surrounded her with other smart and successful people. If you're just looking at a list of the names of people who are involved, it looks impressive. Here's the problem. None of these people actually understand the inner workings of college basketball. They might be brilliant in other aspects of this world. In fact, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say they are across the board. But they don't understand this. The Commission on College Basketball should actually be filled with, college coaches, but also recruiting analysts, people who run grassroots programs, not necessarily me, but people like me who have been dealing in this world for decades and who still deal in this world today. Like the Commission on College Basketball, they got people who were famous basketball players 20 years ago, but haven't been involved in the sport in any way in 20 years. Well, what do they know about anything?
Right.
It would be like if you took, like, I am an educated person. I like to think I'm smart. I like to think I've got an ability to figure things out. But if you put me in charge of cleaning up amateur hockey, I wouldn't have any idea how to do that because I don't know anything about amateur hockey. Same here. Most of the people on the Commission on College Basketball might be equipped to do other things. In fact, in Secretary Rice's case, maybe lead our country. I don't know. But she's ill-equipped to do the job they're asking her to do, and they keep making one mistake after another after another. They messed up the recruiting calendar, famously. They fixed no problems within the sport, and then they just created, with their latest recommendation, a public relations nightmare for the NCAA that the NCAA had to undo today. So, again, congrats to the NCAA for admitting a mistake here. Now do the right thing and admit another mistake, that your Commission on College Basketball is filled with people who don't know how to do what you're asking them to do, and you should very politely push them to the side and start listening to people who actually have thoughtful ideas for how to fix the issues that are real problems within the sport.
Story number two.
Antonio Brown is set to rejoin the Oakland Raiders. He Instagrammed earlier this afternoon after an arbitrator ruled against him in his pursuit to wear his old helmet as opposed to a new helmet because his old helmet is no longer certified by the National Operating Committee for Standards and Athletic Equipment. We talked about this on Friday, just a bizarre story. Antonio Brown had told Raiders officials he would quit football, never play again,
right,
if he was not allowed to wear his old helmet. And I told you on Friday there was basically no chance of the NFL allowing him to wear this old helmet because when I say old helmet, it's like 10 years old. And the company that makes it doesn't make – that made it, they don't make it anymore. And
oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it's like you could have – one from way back then, Antonio Brown clearly does. But the way the certification process is done, if a company no longer makes that helmet, they don't even test the helmet. They just make it, they just refuse to certify
right.
it. Like, it doesn't matter if it's actually good. They don't even get to the testing process. This company no longer makes this. We no longer will certify it. And so the point I made on Friday was, can you imagine? And again, it was an extreme example, but I think it hammered home the point I was trying to make. The NFL couldn't possibly clear him to wear this helmet because they...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.